Praise the Lord. It's good to see everyone. If everyone wants to come into the sanctuary, if you're not in here, then we're going to start.
Amen. Come on.
That's it. Come on. Yep. Preach it.
Right. All right. I'm going to open with Psalm 97.
Hallelujah.
The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many coastlands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries all around. His lightnings light up the world, and earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the peoples see his glory. All worshipers of images are put to shame who make their boast in worthless idols. Worship him, all you gods. Zion hears and is glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O Lord. For you, O Lord, are most high over all the earth. Yeah. You are exalted far above all gods.
Yes, you are,
Lord. O you who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the lives of his saints. He delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous and joy for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks to his holy name. Lord, we rejoice in you, Lord. We praise you and thank you, Lord. And we put this service in your hands. We just, Lord, may this be a service of complete worship to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Well, I just want to say that yesterday was phenomenal. And I don't know how or why it happens, but it always happens. We think like God can't outdo himself, and he does. Yesterday, the woman's day was off the charts. And you just felt the Holy Spirit as soon as you entered this room. And I want to say to Wes that your prophecy is already taking place, that two of our speakers were the young women of our church. And so they just rose up, and they delivered powerful words in the name of Jesus. And I can't stop thinking about it. I feel like I'm still floating from what they had to say. And what they had to say wasn't easy, but it was so timely. They talked about, first of all, Allison talked about the man at the pool of Bethesda and how he looked for his healing in the water, not in Jesus. And he just laid there year after year. He griped, he complained, "No one has put me in the water." You don't need the water, you need Jesus. So that was really eye-opening for all of us to realize that, are we praying for the wrong things? Are we looking to the wrong things to be delivered? And then Jessica Thomas gave a word. She gave her testimony, powerful testimony. And then she talked about how God transformed her, how she definitely, without a doubt, rejected God and went into a lifestyle that did not include him. But by a tragedy to herself, God brought her back. And it was so enlightening for all of us to see that God does care about us. No matter what we think, he does care about us. And she used Psalm 139. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but if you have time, read it. Oh, Lord, you've searched me and you've known me. Sometimes we think we're fooling God. We're fooling each other. But God knows the truth. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You know, she just read the whole thing. It was so, so moving to know that he knows us in every inch of our bodies. And the answers to our prayers can't be necessarily what we want, but what he wants. So I just want to thank every woman that came, all the people that prayed in preparation for it. And if you didn't get to come, I know it'll be on the podcast. So keep checking if it's on or not. And really listen to those powerful words by our young people. They were really, it's just like Wes said, People are rising up. Young people are rising up and taking charge. In my next prayer, and I'm going to say that I'll slip this into Wes, but, you know, we have a lot of Bible studies. It would be great to see you guys coming to those. Not just leading your own, but coming to ours and seeing what you can glean from that. So, in Jesus' name, thank you so much.
All right. The Lord's Supper. We have been, this will be the third consecutive Lord's Supper in which our focus is grace. The grace of God. All the things that are being discussed, all the things that are being revealed, all the things with which we're being challenged, they'll come to pass only because of grace. Unless the foundation of our lives is the grace of God, we're not building on the right foundation. Jesus is the foundation, but Jesus is the gift of God. This is what grace is. Grace is the fact that the foundation of our Christian life is a gift from God that we must receive. It's not something we need to build. It's not something we need to construct. It's not something we need to earn. The foundation is the gift of God, and that's what took place at the cross. God granted us the gift of His Son. It took place at the cross. It took place in the grave. It took place in the resurrection, and it took place in the ascension. And everything is about the gift of God. If we don't start with the right foundation, what we build, and there are things we need to build. We need to build. Of course we need to build. Faith without works is dead, Scripture says. But faith only comes as a grace gift of God. Repentance only comes as a grace gift of God. And we need to understand that. Now, there's a whole host of word roots and word relationships in the New Testament Greek that confirm that. All right? And I've covered them, but let me mention them again. We start out with the word charis. That's the word grace. Now, the word for grace is also related to charisma. Our charismatic gifts are free gifts. Grace is a free gift. The verb that charis and charisma come from, two verbs, charitao, which means to be blessed with the free gift of God's grace, and charizomai, which means God's grace gift working in terms of our forgiveness. All these words, they're all related. And they're related not only grammatically and etymologically, they are related in the terms of how they work in our lives. Now, not only do we have the verb form charizomai and charitao that birth the word charis and charisma, but we have the word kairo. Kairo, which is related to those other words, is the word to rejoice. God's grace grants us forgiveness. God's grace is a free gift that gifts us with anointings. And remember this. The anointing you have to minister is a free gift from God. Remember that the gift you have from the Lord may differ from the gift of your brother and sister next to you. We have this false concept, and it comes from the world that, well, wait a second, I'm older in the Lord than you. I've been around here at Lord of the Harvest longer than you. Why are you being promoted in a certain way that I'm not? Well, because that argument is flawed. I mean, I'm older than President Trump. I should be president then, right? I'm older than him. And I'm older than Kurt Sorrentino. Well, I should be fixing cars, not Kurt. That's crazy. Kurt has a gift that I don't have. Politicians have gifts that I don't have. Your promotion comes based on your anointing. If I've been in the Lord a couple months longer than Steve Fado, do I get up there and say, when Steve's ministering to 20,000 people and hundreds are being healed, sit down, Steve. I'm older than you in the Lord. I should be doing this. Except when I preach to 1,000 people get sick, they don't get healed. People, thousands don't get saved. They quit following Christ when I speak. Brethren, it's grace gifts. That's the foundation here. And promotion is coming in this house. And you know why promotion is coming in this house? Because God gives people as gifts to the house. What is related to this is the word, the verb form kairo, which means to rejoice. The grace that God gifts us with and forgives us with and reconciles us with causes us to rejoice. And then related to kairo is kara, the Greek word for joy, which makes all the more when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we partake of the Eucharist. Eucharist. The Eucharist, which is the term that was given by the early church to the Lord's Supper, has to do with the word thanksgiving. Eucharisto means to give thanks. Eucharistia means thanksgiving. The Eucharist is a source of thanksgiving, but that word is related to grace because Jesus is the ultimate gift of God who causes us to give thanks, who causes us to rejoice, who causes us to experience joy, who causes us to be gifted. And it's all on the basis of his grace. If it doesn't start with God's grace, we're building on sand and not on rock. One of these days, I'll get Tim Ashley to come in here. And Tim's first name is Grace, his middle name is Grace, and his last name is Grace. He does grace right because he teaches about accountability, he teaches about righteousness, he teaches about truth, but he knows the source of all those things is grace. Now, grace makes us gracious. So when people, when husband and wife are not being gracious to each other, when parents and children are not being gracious to each other, when brothers and sisters are not being gracious to each other, when Republicans and Democrats aren't being gracious to each other, when white and black aren't being gracious to each other, it's because we are not building on the foundation of grace. Because the ultimate sign that God's grace is at work in our lives is that we're gracious. We become thankful, glad, joyful, forgiving people who respect each other's gifts. The truth of the matter is, a 30-year-old can get up and evangelize, and they have a greater anointing than I do. Oh, so what? In that area, that's not my area of anointing. Now, I preached before 1,000 people in a Central Asian nation, And it was a very dangerous nation to be in. I preached the gospel to 1,000 people. And when we invited them up to give their hearts to Jesus, and they were in a nation that's not a Christian nation, nobody came up. So I just said, somebody else come on up and deal with this. And the next brother got up and did it, and they came forth because he had a gift that I didn't have. Now, I know I got him ready. I know I planted some seeds, but he was the hose. We have to understand this. Your age in the Lord, how many years you've been part of this church and things. It's got nothing to do when it comes to the gift realm. The gift realm, that's free gifts that God the Father gives to people. And that the basis of their anointing has nothing to do with anything else than that is another aspect of the way God's grace works in people's lives. Now, this is the Lord's Supper, but Wes changed my whole message today. Thank you, Wes. So blame him. No, don't blame Wes. Don't blame Wes. He's too young to be blamed. All the blame still needs to come to me. And that's another side of leadership. It's amazing how many husbands blame their wives. Well, you've got the authority, buddy. And if you've got the authority, what goes wrong in the house is on you. Do we understand that's how it works? See, I love men's favorite, the favorite verse that every young man and old man has is, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as in the Lord. That's the favorite verse. It sounds, and you know how valid that is? It's the same thing as the white slaveholder's favorite verse was that said, slaves, obey your masters. Travesty, picking one verse out of the Bible like that. But Scripture says, to whom much is given, much shall be required. Which means if somebody actually does have the greater authority, then they have the greater responsibility. And I've taught for years, what goes wrong in this church is on one person. Right here. And when God comes knocking on somebody's door, if Lord of the Harvest fails, he ain't come knocking on your door. He's coming knocking on my door. Which is the burden of authority. That's why to whom much is given, the greater authority, much shall be required. That's why sometimes and some of you know this already to be true. When the husband comes in complaining about his wife, that's where you push past your eyes, almost crossing the line, getting angry. That's one of the most violated premises in Scripture, in the church. Okay. Now, however, who gives me the ability to handle that authority that I have? The grace of God. See, it's always the grace of God. Grace is what empowers us. And does Pastor Oz need to learn how to be more gracious? Absolutely. And I got somebody sitting in the front row with me and sleeping in the bed next to me who is there to remind me of that. To whom much is given, much shall be required. It's not a free pass. My wife doesn't have a free pass to do anything because of that. But when I go before the Lord as the representative, as the senior representative in a situation, when I go before the Lord, the first thing he asks me is, how you doing? Before you say anything about your wife, Mike, how you doing with your wife? But see, God's grace is at work in my life. I can deal with it. Tim finally said it. Tim actually said it. He said, in one of his recent teachings, he said, we have trouble being criticized. We don't like it when we're criticized. He says, but if we're criticized according to God, the Word of God, and he's talking about leaders, if we're criticized according to the Word of God, then we need to handle it. And we don't handle it because we don't have enough grace. And I did a little dance because I've been talking about that for a while. I've been talking about that for a while. So, what am I rambling on and leading up to? What Wes shared, we are on the verge, after 25 years in this house, of having the breakthrough we needed. And that's because the Lord, it's taken him 25 years to put all the right pieces in place. All right? It's taken 25 years, and it's starting to happen. All the places, all the pieces are being put into place for this to be a house of God's presence, for this to be an explosion. And it's because of the gifts that God is sending to this house. In the last year, God has sent incredible gifts to this house. It's interesting. Some of the gifts are new people, your gifts. Some of the gifts are people who have been here all along, but they're beginning to blossom. They're beginning to emerge. And some of them are the gifts of people who've been kind of in and out of the church and in and out of the church and in and out of the church, and somebody's smiling over there, but have come back and are being raised up. We have been sent gifts to this house. Now, when I mention the gifts, when I name the gifts, if you say, well, why didn't you name me, Pastor? Because you've been a gift. We're not talking about the people who've been here all along. That's the blessing of those who've been here all along. You are the gifts. You've been gifts. You are the gifts. And you will continue to be the gifts. Now, I could walk down the aisle and prophesy, thus says the Lord, thus says the Lord, thus says the Lord. I'm just going to say it from the pulpit, okay? Allison Elliott is a gift to this house. All the Elliott kids are, but Allison Elliott has been raised up, powerful anointing of the Lord. Wes Kane is a returned gift to the house. Wes is a gift to this house. I told my wife something. I won't say it, but I told my wife something a month ago, month and a half ago. Antonio and Lydia, you are a gift to this house. God has sent you here. Now, this one's going to be interesting because only half of this team is here, but Gary and Jennifer Harbert are gifts sent by God to this house. Some gifts have a little more to work on than others, but these are gifts. These are people that God is putting in place here. Now, somebody's not even here, so I'm going to still say it. I hope they're listening to the live stream, but Darius and Jessica Thomas are gifts to this house. Peter and Nikki, I'm going to challenge you. You're new. You got a ways to go, but you're gifts to this house. God is going to raise you up. Scott and Crystal, you are gifts to this house. Scott has gifted me from the day we went from communicating online to the day we began to communicate face-to-face. And there is what makes these individual gifts their hearts. It's their hearts for the Lord. Their hearts for the Lord. Now, I see, I don't know where Paco is, but I see Paco's big smile here, and Paco's got the potentiality to be a gift to this house that was here a long time ago, and I mean like as a child, and he's here with all his little Pacos too. Hallelujah. Now, if I didn't mention your name, does that mean you're not a gift? You are a gift. You've been a gift. You will continue to be a gift. But this is a prophetic word that I'm just kind of doing from the pulpit. The Lord is going to release His grace. I pray for an unprecedented manifestation. Oh, and I just looked at somebody over there. Darlene, you are a gift to this house.
Yes.
You are a gift. You got some things to work on, but you're a gift, darling. So, Lord, send unprecedented grace to Wes Kane. Unprecedented grace to Darlene Joyner. Unprecedented grace to Scott and Crystal. Unprecedented grace to Paco, Lord God. Unprecedented grace to Lydia and Antonio. Unprecedented grace to Peter and Nikki. Unprecedented grace to Gary and Jennifer. Unprecedented grace to Allison Elliott. Did I forget anybody? Darius and Jessica. Unprecedented grace. Because when you're gifts, when you are a gift, it's because Jesus has made you the gift. In Ephesians 4, it says, He ascended on high and gave gifts unto men. But there's enough exegetical argument about what that verse actually says. Some believe the Greek says, He ascended on high and gave men as gifts. Human beings as gifts. Now, everybody that I've talked to, I'm working with one-on-one, or will be working with one-on-one. And some of there are challenges in your life. And the challenges, it's not that God hasn't gifted you and anointed you. The challenge is there's a lot of things that come against us to try to hinder the work of grace in people's lives. But Lord, I declare that your grace is sufficient for us. For in our weakness, your strength is made perfect. And that's the work of God's grace. So since Eucharisto is giving thanks, let's do the communion message. John chapter 6. And we're going to highlight where Jesus uses the word thanksgiving in his presentation, his prototypical presentation of the Lord's Supper. Jesus simply says in chapter 6 of John, verse 35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. He is the gift of God. And that is why when we bless the bread and we bless the wine, when we bless the elements, we give thanks over them. And that thanksgiving is the invocation that releases the grace of God, the gift of God, whenever we partake of the Lord's Supper. Now, earlier in this chapter, Jesus fed the 5,000. He had a few loaves, a few fish, but he fed 5,000 with a few loaves and fish. And that's because in verse 11, earlier in the chapter, Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, and so also the fish, as much as they wanted. Jesus' grace word of thanksgiving is what multiplies the few loaves and the fish. Jesus' thanksgiving to God the Father for us. And Jesus talks all the time about, I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and given them unto little babies. Jesus' word of thanksgiving is what empowers us to become the loaves and the fish that we might feed the world. And finally, Jesus says in verse 23 of John 6, he says, other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread. And it's not just called the place where they had eaten bread. It's the place where they had eaten bread after the Lord had given thanks. It's bread eaten after the invocation of God's grace. Jesus says, again in verse 35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. That is both a promise and an invocation of blessing. Father, we come before your throne in the mighty and the precious name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the bread. We thank you, Lord, for the wine. We thank you for the body and blood, the living bread, the blood that speaks of greater things than Abel, the blood that cleanses us, the grace that will empower not only those who were called out as gifts today, but those who were not called out but have been gifts to this house for the entire history of this house or as long as they've been here. We give you thanks for them. We give you thanks for the grace that you're going to use to empower your people. And we give thanks for the gift of God in Christ. Release great grace to all of us to be formed and fashioned and shaped and become whatever God has called us to in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen.